From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Well, I hope your Halloween weekend went well. And by the way, if you seem to be an hour off today, it's because we're off of daylight saving time. So make sure you turned your clock back an hour, okay? By the way, congratulations to the Kansas City Royals, the 2015 World Baseball Champs, defeating the New York Mets. How about that? Emerging artists for the first couple hours tonight for bumper music, and later tonight, Your Soul's Plan. Here's what's happening. Well, Chipotle has closed 43 of its restaurants in two states, Washington and Oregon, with fears of an E. coli outbreak that has affected, right now, 22 people. Since October 14th, 8 of them have been hospitalized. 3 people in the Portland area and 19 people in Washington became sick after eating at the Mexican food chain. Chipotle operates more than 1,700 restaurants in the U.S. and elsewhere. And Hormel Foods is recalling 153 cases of peanut butter made at its Little Rock, Arkansas factory because of the potential for metal shavings in those jars. Oh, boy, the company issued a statement saying 153 cases of these reduced-fat, creamy, Skippy brand peanut butter may contain small pieces of metal discovered during an online magnet check. The products were shipped to Publix, Target, Walmart distribution centers in Georgia, Virginia, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Delaware, and Arkansas. Tragedy over the weekend. The Russian passenger plane that crashed in Egypt, killing everyone on board, broke up at high altitude, according to Russia's top aviation officials. The Metrojet plane bound for St. Petersburg in Russia crashed 23 minutes after it took off from Egypt's Red Sea resort. The weather was fine. The 224 people on board, all Russian, except 4 Ukrainians and 1 from Belarus. Let's check in with James Sanders, author of The Downing of TWA Flight 800. And, of course, he was with us during the entire disappearance of MH370. Jim, both you and I know when a plane disintegrates up there in midair, it's a little more than just some kind of technical malfunction.
Right. With all the misinformation that's coming out with the Egyptians, keep in mind that their travel industry is a disaster, and they're trying to get as many tourists, obviously from Russia in this case, down to the Sinai, where they have some apparently pretty nice places down there. But so they have a massive incentive to lie, and they have lied. That plane was not at 31,000 feet. It only, in all probability, only had 16 minutes of flight time. But even if it had 23, which is highly unlikely, it wasn't anywhere near that. At best, it was at the top end of what a man pad would do. And I think you to understand also that it's highly unlikely that Russia will come in and tell an honest story, because then they would be, if it was shot down or bombed into the ground, then you would have Putin having to admit that ISIS really got one over on him.
And originally, Jim, someone from ISIS claimed responsibility, then they backtracked on that, or somebody backtracked on that. I suspect that if ISIS was involved, Putin is going to get very heavy-handed out there with the military.
Yeah, no question in my mind, but I do not think he's going to want to take the hit for ISIS over there. I would be amazed if anything other than, you know, this nonsense that they're doing now. It must have been a technical. You know, they haven't looked at the black boxes. They hadn't looked at anything. They're lying about the altitude. And now they're saying, some technical thing must have done. Yeah, right. You know, it broke into two major pieces. And after that, I'm not sure what. But it was spread over miles and miles.
Yeah, that's an explosion. You know that? I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim, we'll check in with you during this week as we get more information about this. My take on this, again, is if it was shot down by ISIS, and of course Russia is fighting ISIS in Syria, this happened over Egypt, Putin is going to get extremely aggressive. I mean extremely. So just watch what unfolds there. A search team using sophisticated scanning sonar has apparently found the wreckage of a vessel believed to be the cargo ship El Faro that we've been watching. It went down missing with 33 crew members October 1st during Hurricane Joaquin. Remember that? It was on its way to San Juan, Puerto Rico. The federal agency issued a statement that the searchers believe they located the wreckage of the ship at a depth of 15,000 feet in the vicinity of the ship's last known position. Captain Kelly Sweeney's been with us on this tragedy. Kelly, I do believe they probably found the wreckage. What do you think?
Oh, George, yes. The Apache, the U.S. Military Sealift Command crew searching for the El Faro, as you pointed out, believe that they found the wreck of the ship 15,000 feet below the surface in an area near where the captain made the last transition. However, they are not going to know for sure until they lower down a remotely operated vehicle, otherwise known as an ROV, and that's the next phase of the operation.
Well, it's a tragedy. We've lost all those crew members, and as we talked about, this hurricane, of course, was huge. I guess most ships can't take it when you're right in the middle of that.
It's a real tough one, George. If you lose propulsion, you're at the mercy of the winds and the waves. You have no way to work around it. What's going to happen now when they lower the ROV down 15,000 feet down to the ocean floor, what they're going to do is they're going to try to pick up what's known as the black box, or what we call the voyage data recorder, and they're going to remove that. That's about the size of a basketball, but it has contained in it the last 12 to 24 hours of voice recordings from the bridge and ship readouts, so investigators will be able to get a very clear picture of what happened on the El Faro in the hours and minutes just before it went down.
Oh, Kelly, you can just imagine the voices, the screams, the, oh, my God.
Oh, yes, George, and they're going to be recorded on there.
All right, Kelly, thanks. Captain Kelly Sweeney there. An armed man who killed three people in the streets of Colorado Springs on Saturday simply appeared to be moving calmly and collectively, like he was walking his own pet dog. The gunman was killed in a shootout with police. Well, a customer with a concealed carry license shot and killed an armed man attempting to rob a neighborhood store in Chicago. A masked man walked into the store in Currency Exchange about 7 p.m. Saturday night, displayed a handgun, announced a robbery to an employee. The gunman next pointed his weapon at another employee, forced her into the back of the store. The armed customer, concealed carry, he had it, he was hiding it. He pulled out his gun, then fatally shot the man. Is he a hero? So many people believe he was. Vatican exorcists have condemned the celebration of Halloween, saying the festival is the equivalent of singing hosannas to the devil. Rome's chief exorcist, Gabriel Amorth, has warned of a danger to young people at Halloween because of the increase in occult activity, which he believes fuels insomnia, mental illness, depression, and suicidal thoughts in children. Six people were sent to the hospital Saturday afternoon in Arizona after a swarm of bees attacked residents in the subdivision there. They were all running around screaming. I guess who wouldn't, right? If you own a cat, listen to this research story. They say cats are neurotic, and they're also probably trying to work out how to kill you, according to researchers. Now, I know all of you cat lovers out there are saying this is crazy, but listen to this one. They're well known, of course, for their immaculate fluffy coats and unique personalities, but new research suggesting that cats do have a much darker side. The study carried out between the University of Edinburgh and the Bronx Zoo compared the beloved domestic cat with its wilder relatives and compared with the snow leopard, the Scottish wildcat, and the African lion. The researchers found that these larger predators shared similar characteristics of aggression and erotic behavior to domestic cats as well. Let's look up in the skies, though. What does Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky, have for us? Stephen?
Hi, George. Happy November to you and the listeners.
Too.
We start off, George, by going back to our nearest star, the sun. Interesting. Right now, this large sunspot group, George, called AR2443, get a load of this, folks, about 100,000 miles in diameter, one-eighth of the diameter of the sun. And, George, just when we've been waiting for that big bang to go off on the sun, astronomers are telling us that get set, there may be some potential activity coming up this week. Locally, George, if we look into our skies in early November, looks high into the south by around midnight. A good reason to do it, you may get to see some of these incredibly bright torrid fireball meteors. Around the world, people are reporting, this is incredible. Actual fireballs, George, as bright as the full moon, they do come sporadically from Comet Encke, and most of these are not the tiny little grain of sand type meteors that we normally see. These are upwards of the size of gravel, so peel your eyes to the skies. And finally, we know that asteroid 2015 TB145 safely passed this, George, on Halloween by 300,000 miles.
That's close.
Wasn't that interesting seeing the skull-like face on an asteroid or an extinct comet? Isn't that amazing?
You never know, Stephen. You never
Absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. And we're ready, George, maybe in 2 nights. That's what we're hoping. A little surprise for our coast-to-coast listeners. And if you'd like to learn more, visit us at drsky.com. I'm excited.
Absolutely. We're going to have an incredible surprise for you. We teased you a little bit last week. You'll just have to wait until Tuesday night. Up next, we're going to talk about the spirit of alchemy and the spirit of Ouija boards. Get ready. Karen Dahlman back with us. She loves Ouija boards. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. And, of course, Karen Dahlman is back with us. Karen has written a couple books called The Spirit of Creativity, The Spirit of Ouija. Her new one is called The Spirit of Alchemy, of course. She believes that life is meant to be a joyful experience, and who does not? And she believes that we're able to tap this great source of our inner potential to open up all kinds of possibilities. And here she is back on Coast to Coast. Hello, Karen. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, hi, George. Happy Halloween to you, and happy All Saints Day.
That's right. So in St. Louis, on Friday night, there was a live exorcism at the house that the little boy that the movie The Exorcist was based on, and the book, and they had an exorcism, and it was kind of uneventful, honestly, but it was kind of fun to watch anyway. And I watched it before our Ghost to Ghost show got going, and they did a Ouija board bit, Karen, with Chip Coffey, who's a psychic medium, and some other people, and they were starting to get responses from the planchette from what they felt to be good spirits. And then they asked the question, are there evil spirits still in this house? And the planchette went crazy and said, yes, yes. And they decided all to disconnect themselves from the planchette, and they all ran onto the room. Was that the right thing to do? Now, and you're going to have to tell us why you like the Ouija board, because you're in a different category than most people.
Yeah, well, I'm very familiar with the show. Yeah, and I know the people that were in, some of the people in the show. I know Chip and a few others. Yeah, you know, they did what they came to do and were asked to do, and, you know, trying to conjure back up the what happened in that house many years before to the young boy, the true exorcist story. So, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to say, is this evil? Is, you know, anything on the board, especially if you don't have a connection yet made with the other side or with these spirits, can trick you, you know, cause havoc, be mischievous. So that's really not the question I probably would have asked. But, you know, nonetheless, it was asked. So it's probably smart they put the planchette and board away and just moved on with the next step of the show. Because, yeah, that you're kind of opening up some things you may not want to be opening up.
Well, see, that's interesting because you've always been very positive about the Ouija boards. This is one of the first times I've heard you say you could open up something you don't want to.
Well, let me clarify that, George.
All right.
When you're in a situation like that where they're going to, with the intent to find something negative, evil for shows, that's a whole other intent. I don't ever go about it that way, and I highly don't recommend anybody go about it that way. What you want to do is if you're in a space of trying to contact, it's more about, I ask for my highest good. I ask for that which is going to come forth and be nothing but kind, benevolent, and also of my highest good. I mean, has my love in my heart for me. And so it's not going to be anything negative. I would never go about asking for something negative. So that's the difference in what I'm saying is, you know, I would never do. They had to do that for the show, I guess, and that was what the premise of the show was,
yeah,
about contacting a spirit. I'm certain that spirit's moved on since that whatever that happened many years ago. And so I don't think that they can even probably pull that back up. So that's why they really didn't get much. But no, I wouldn't ever go into a situation and purposely call upon that. That's the difference.
What do you think of the Vatican saying Halloween is bad for kids?
Well, we've been hearing that over throughout the ages. If you go through the history of Halloween, and you know, it started as different traditions and customs from other countries, and a lot of it was, you know, associated with more pagan-based cultures, as well as earth-based. And so it really was about bringing the festival, the harvest, in. And so it just started shifting over the years, and it was really about honoring the dead, honoring our loved ones that went on before us. And then all of a sudden it becomes this thing where now it's scary because, you know, we've taken it to another level in America. We started wearing more of these spooky outfits and also fun outfits. And I think for them to step in and say that just doesn't make sense, because you look at little kids, they can hardly wait to go trick-or-treating. It's not what it used to be. It's not the roots of the history of trick-or-treating. It's something that's, you know, more vanilla now. That's what it's become, more vanilla, commercialized, and the kids like to do it. So I think it's kind of silly they're saying that.
Would you recommend to parents to buy a Ouija board for the kids for Christmas?
Well, look, how do you think I got mine? Right? You remember that story? Well, listen, but I say I don't recommend kids to use the board. Now, again, it was 1973. I got at the board the day before the Exorcist movie came out. That came out on December 26, 1973. It was a whole different ball game there. It wasn't so scary at the time. It wasn't, like, weird. It wasn't, like, wasn't all this fear around it. But what I say, if a kid asks their parents for a Ouija board, the parents should turn around and say, what is it you want with this toy, tool, game, whatever you want to call it, and find out the real reason why they want a Ouija board. It could be nothing more than, you know, they miss their grandfather that passed away, and they want to know if they can talk to the dead, and they've seen these silly movies. And I think it's better to have a conversation with your kids than to just go out and get a board. I mean, when a kid gets older, probably, you know, teenage years, they're going to find a board and they'll have the ways to sneak it. So it's better to have that conversation when they're younger and they bring it up to you than to just say no. Instead, talk to them about the reasons why. And then maybe there's other ways they can go about learning to remember and hold the memory of grandpa that just died.
Your new book is called The Spirit of Alchemy. And, of course, it doesn't mean going out there to make and conjure up gold, does it?
No, it doesn't. But yet, it means bringing forth the gold within our lives. So there's a metaphor here.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. So the Spirit of Alchemy, Secret Teachings of the Sacred Union, came out of a lot of the work I've been doing connecting with my higher self, which we're going to get into tonight. Came out of the work I've been doing with communicating with ethereal beings as well as source wisdom. And so through those communications, which came to me in many different formats and many different techniques we will also discuss tonight, the Ouija board was just a little small piece of it, where there's so many other ways that I connect with this wisdom. And so I was receiving downloads of information through dreams, meditations, etc., and it began to formulate this book. It started really shifting my life as it shifted my life throughout the years, but I was really noticing a huge change in the last several years, and it had to do with this connection I made with the higher self in such a solid way. It was always glimpses before. And so I decided to write the book that would help other people begin to tap into this large wealth of information, inspiration, guidance within ourselves. I call it like our inner guidance system. And it's quite phenomenal. So the book really takes us on a journey of finding the parts in your life that aren't working, those things that are changing, that are fearful, that scare you, those things you brush away and that you put into your closet, the skeletons we hold, and really begin to look at those, integrate them within our life, and become empowered for that. So we take the lead, here we go, here's the alchemical term.
Mm-hmm.
We take the lead in our life and begin to transform it, transmute it into golden opportunities. And this has to do with the sacred union of reuniting all the aspects within ourselves that we tend to think that are bad, not we don't want to look at, or the duality within our own existence, such as the good, bad, masculine, feminine energies, things above, below, separating ourselves from source, and really beginning to find that continuum and the connection between these duality of ways of thinking. And then so we can begin to find a more holistic way of being within our body, within our life, and also within our spiritual self, so we are connected back to this greater source of wisdom. So the whole book really takes you through the beginning to the end and in between of how to begin doing that.
Okay, Karen, when we come back in just a moment, we're going to talk more about other dimensions that are tied into all these different things that we're talking about in different realms of reality. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. Questions for Karen Dahlman. Next hour, But also, if you've got a Ouija board story you want to share with us, fire away with that as well. Karen's going to be with us for 2 hours tonight on our After Halloween show right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Karen Dahlman. Karen's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about all her works, the spirits of Ouija, the spirit of creativity, and the new one, the spirit of alchemy. Tell me, Karen, about these other dimensions that so many people believe are out there. How many are out there? Do we know?
We don't know, but I can tell you this. As I explore more and more and push the boundaries of consciousness, I'm determining there's infinite possibilities of realities and dimensions. It continues to go, and I think when we start to think we got a grasp on it, which we never will have a grasp on it, by the way, and we think we understand how to even navigate some of this, we're going to find there's so much more available. And I find this through, just again, communicating with different levels of dimensions, the consciousness, sentient beings that are existing within these dimensions. You know, I did a lot of exploration years ago as a psychotherapist in private practice with past life regression. We worked a lot with following the energy of the residue back within the person, why they came to therapy in the first place, what was the presenting issue. And as we began to trace that back, never suggesting where to go with that, just to follow it back, many went into the beginning of their life, maybe back into the womb, in between lives, and started going into all these different realities. And I'm not talking realities that seem like space and time continuum, such as, you go back to Cleopatra Day, or you go back further, you go back to maybe the Dark Ages, or you go back into Caveman Day. Or what I found was people were jumping all over, and they were going to parallel realities. They were going into other dimensions. They were looking like not even like humans sometimes. They were exploring other realms of galaxies. The list went on and on. And it wasn't about whether I wanted to believe or prove it was right or wrong. It was the client getting better. And so what was happening was the clients were getting better. The reason why they came to therapy and started some of this work was maybe to release their depression, work through some other issue they may have, maybe a problem they're going through just in their life when the area, and they follow that issue back. And that's where they went. They jumped all over the place. And it wasn't so much is it true or not, but again, how did it affect them when they started changing this residue? And so that's one way we began exploring all these dimensions. But there's so many other ways to explore these. And I'm really trying to push the boundaries of consciousness, and I'm doing a lot of my own research and exploration into these realms. And there are a lot of people that have reached out to me, and I welcome that, on your show, that shared with me their experiences of consciousness and where it's taking them and their communications with sentient awareness and consciousness in those realms.
Karen, we have a guest that comes on the show quite often, David Politis, mm-hmm. who talks about people who are missing, primarily from our state and federal parks, but they're gone. They're just gone.
Oh, yes.
And is it possible that these people are stumbling through something into another dimension and somehow they can't get back?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with his work. I've heard him on your show, and I've researched him as well. That's a possibility. We can't rule that out. There's many possibilities here. They could be going into multi-dimensions. They could be, maybe not finding their way back. They may decide not to come back. There's also the theory of the whole extraterrestrial involvement with this too, which, by the way, George, they're also included in this multi-dimensional consciousness and communication.
How so?
People can have. Well, people can reach into those realms and communicate with these beings. They're sentient beings, and they're coming more and more and presenting themselves to people, as well as people reaching out and communicating with them directly.
All right, so we don't know how many dimensions are out there, but why would we have different ones at all, Karen?
Well, the universe is very complex, and I believe the source that created all, God's source, all that is, the great matrix, it's very complicated. It's so much more, and there's so many dimensions, complexities to it, like facets to it, I should say. It's a better way to put it. That it's like a. I'm always told this by my guides. They tell me it's based on geometry. It's geometric. The universe is geometric and based on these patterns. And within those geometric patterns, you can find all of the different shapes, the platonic solids they're called, within those patterns. And out of that, you have many different other dimensions that can come out of those solids. So it's based on math, basically. Based on math, harmonics, which is also based on math and geometry. And so therefore, you've got this infinite number that continues on and on.
By tapping into some of these other dimensions, can you just about do anything? And are there other us's, other people like us, in these other dimensions? Our alter egos, our doppelgangers, whatever.
Very fascinating. Now, I personally haven't run into the doppelganger yet, but I know people who have. I know Richard Bach wrote exclusively about that in some of his books, and I've read about it. But I've had people talk to me about doppelgangers they've run into. But, yeah, when you go into these other realms or even just reach in to communicate, sometimes you don't know exactly what their realm is all about until you begin exploring it further and further. Now, some people actually travel in these realms, again, through some hypnosis techniques and meditation. You can actually tap into it and literally, in your mind's eye, move through these realms and explore stuff and come back and report as you're doing it. And I have had people come bump into themselves at another possibility of their life, like a spinoff of their life, like a probability life. I've done that myself, too, where you can use the technique of hypnosis, regression work. And when you say regression, it's not always just going backwards. It can be going forward. And you can actually do this through a process of just a personal relaxation or self-hypnosis where you reach out and try to find that part of you that's even, 10 years down the road, 10 years in your future, and have that part of you help you now and give you guidance to help you get to that point.
Yeah.
Especially now in, the world just seems to be crumbling apart in front of us. You can also reach back to that smaller part of you inside of you that maybe you were when you're 5 and you had some kind of traumatic event and help heal that part as well. Even though it seems like it's in the mind's eye, what's very fascinating, George, about the brain is the brain doesn't know the difference between something imagined or something really happening. And that's, the principles of biofeedback. For example, you can imagine yourself, if you're a snow skier, if you ever did snow skiing, you're at the top of a hill, beautiful morning, you're getting ready to jump down that hill on your skis, and you're going to go through this fresh powder, and it's exhilarating. Every turn, you get excited, and now your body is pumping and getting excited, adrenaline rush, your heart's beating up. You could just sit there and imagine that, and your body's going to get the same reaction. So it's really fascinating when you do this work. So when you go back and you're just laying there in the therapist chair, let's say, in the hypnotherapist chair, and you're going back recalling these lives or these experiences, wherever they take you, and you start to get into it, your body will follow suit. Doesn't know if it's real or imagined. It's going to follow suit with all the stuff going on inside your central nervous system. And then it's going to affect that. Those changes are going to be affected within your body now, which affects your changes here and the present moment. That's how you affect these changes and make these changes happen. So I say you can change your past, you can change your present through this work.
Karen, well, you mentioned the kind of world we're living in right now, and it's very difficult for people to sustain themselves in that world all the time when they're getting bombarded with so much hatred and craziness, and the craziness is everywhere. So how do people, human beings who are subjected to the ups and downs of life, how can you stay focused on this? Because I believe in order to do this, in order to tap into these other realms and better yourself, you got to stay focused. But how can you stay focused when you're getting bombarded with all this junk all the time?
Well, I look at it this way. If we don't find our locus of control, we're going to continue to be bombarded by outside experiences that are going to continue to influence us, and our power of control is outside of ourselves.
And they could be negative experiences.
Absolutely. We need to bring that power of control, the locus of control, I call it our true north, back to within ourselves. So, yes, you're right. There's I call it pretty much trying to maneuver the waves of change, because change is one thing that's a constant. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Right now we're just experiencing it. It seems like on steroids or something, it seems like. And all the different directions we used to turn to find that stability or that constant sense of security is not there anymore, as people are losing their jobs, the economy's changing. We see warfare and hatred all over the world, and we forget to see some of these things that are positively happening. And once in a while, when we do notice them, or it's brought up in the media occasionally, it kind of gets us excited again. So we have to find time. And so what I say, and I think we can really do this in practical ways. You're right. I do put a lot of work into this, but I also, like everybody else, have a job. Have to do that work as well,
mm-hmm.
and then I find time. I highly recommend if you can find 10 to 15 minutes a day, that's all this work takes. And it's not about becoming a time jumper, jumping space-time time continuum.
Let's do that, though. That would be fun.
Well, I agree. And you can get to that point. That's a very good possibility, but it requires practice. But what you can do right now is just take time. And what I call it is time for contemplation and reflection. Maybe a time to program your dreams before you go to bed at night. Maybe it's time to sit there silently to receive guidance from your higher wisdom, which is your higher self, which is that part of you that exists beyond your physical body and connects all the way back up, way out into the cosmos, to Source. And so when you tap into that, you have great inspiration just downloading to you. And so we just have to find several minutes a day. It could be in the morning. It could be in the evening. I like to find a time during the day when I can just sit down and meditate. If I have 30 minutes, it's 30 minutes. And then what I like to do at night, too, is I always have my journal next to me at night, and I will ask for any incredible information or dreams. Now, especially if something's going on in my life that's tough to navigate right now, I will say, please give me some guidance and inspiration and ways. Let your higher self guide you. That's what it's there for. That truly is our true north. That is our a connection back to Source that wants us to experience good things in life. And George, do you know how you can tell when you're connected to your higher self?
Oh, things are working for you.
Absolutely.
You're in the groove.
That's right. You're in the now. You're in your Source. You're in your center. You get epiphanies. Things seem to work out. You feel elated. You feel joyful. And so you know when you're connected. And everybody knows this. And so when you have those moments, use them. When you get in that moment, quickly say to yourself, hey, I'm loving this moment. I want more of them. And say, what words of wisdom do you have to give me right now to help me navigate this experience that I'm having? And be specific what it is within my life. That's when you want to really tune in. And what my guides tell me, and my higher self I communicate with all the time, tells me to call this plugging in. It's like they're an outlet, this higher inner guidance system. And we're a plug, and we need to take this plug and plug it into the outlet, simply as plug it into the wall, you know, your coffee maker. We plug into that, and when we plug in, we have the downloads. We have the ability to find those moments when we truly can feel like we're aligned. Like you said, everything's working out.
Yeah. If you get into these other dimensions, years ago I read a book called The Projections of the Astral Body by Hayward Carrington and Sylvan Muldoon.
I know the book.
Okay. And they talked about these other levels, other dimensions, some of which you don't want to hang around.
Exactly.
You want to get out of there if you're in there fast. If people are dabbling with going into these other realms, what if they stumble into these bad dimensions that they shouldn't be in?
Well, where it needs to start with doing this work is really needs to start with yourself. This is why I always say, as we talked about a moment ago, is start with 10 to 15 minutes a day to really find your center, your locus of control. Once you have that locus of control, your center, and you know where you stand, you know how to plug into your higher self, then it's a better possibility to traverse these realms of going in and reaching into these other realms of beings. You want to have intention set. You don't just want to go, hey, who's out there? It's like using the board, the Ouija board, the talking board. You don't want to just call upon anything. I only call upon those that have my highest interest at heart. That's how I do it, and that's all I get. So going into these realms, if you have your center and you know how to align because you've experienced in your life those moments when you know you're aligned, things are going well, you keep trying to recreate that with yourself. Keep using the image, if you want, of plugging into the outlet and calling upon your higher self. And yes, they're talking about some of the lower astral planes where there are energies that are stuck there. That's where fear, anger, all the negative energies, emotions stick. It creates like an energy source. And that's where the stuck earthbound spirits are. I call it the dead zone or the lower astral planes, and a lot of people refer it the same way. And mostly when they go in and they just start doing this work without any kind of sense of themselves or even understanding that they have, when I say sense of yourself, I should back up, George. I'm talking about realizing that we have responsibility in our thoughts, in our intentions, and who we are. And that responsibility is what allows us to propel ourselves through life and realize that we really craft and create our days, our worlds, as opposed to we're victims of our world. And if you feel a victim, we shouldn't be doing that work. When you feel you're more solid in yourself, you can do this work. And you just don't dabble in and stay in those realms. My goal is always to connect again with this higher sense of guidance. And that's what will help you. I mean, that's what people really want, is to feel good and joy and happy. Nobody comes to me in therapy and says, I want to feel bad and worse than I do. You know?
How positive must you be all the time? Can you have some negativity once in a while?
Oh, well, that's life. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at it, George. We're going to have our ups and downs. That is life. When you do this work, though, it's best to do it under positive intentions.
Well, positive intentions are important. There's no question about that. Now, you call the Ouija board a talking board. How
Correct.
Come?
Well, truly, Ouija board is a trademark name, and it's for one type of board, which Hasbro now owns Parker Brothers, and Parker Brothers has the
So every time we mention that name, they jump for joy, right?
Right. Absolutely. Royalties here. Okay, so a talking board is really like saying a spirit board, talking board, communication board, Ouija board. And so I collect old Ouija boards, and I have a few talking boards, which are not made by William Fuld, Parker Brother, or Hasbro. So that's the difference. And talking board is more like just an overall umbrella term, which would be more fair. But we tend to call old spirit boards, communication boards, we tend to call them all Ouija boards.
Do you use the talking board to get into other realms?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. I use that. I'll use this word really loosely. It's like a doorway, an entry into some of these conversations and communications I've had. It definitely allowed me to understand some of the experience I had when I was very, very young, which I do share about in this book we're talking about tonight, because I believe my story is a lot of people's stories, because they read it and they tell me they had similar experiences,
yeah.
And I'll explain that in a second. But yes, you can use it to communicate in these realms. And then if you don't use a board, which I'm not out here to tell everybody to go use a board, I just feel like if you're inclined to use it, there's certain ways and better ways to use it to have great experiences. And I'm all about teaching how to do that if people are inclined to use this tool. But you can also enter these realms simply through your dreams. It's one of the easiest, most practical ways to have these realms communicate to you, which means your deceased loved ones, your angels, your higher self, these spiritual beings that want to help you, they can come to you in those ways as well. They'll come to you in meditations. But the board has played a part in this for me, obviously, and I share about that in my books as well, and you know, all that I've experienced and with the different sentient beings and consciousness I've communicated over the years.
Now, the fact that I don't like using a Ouija board, it doesn't make me a chicken or a sissy or anything like that, does it?
What do you think, George? Of course not.
Good.
Never. No. Yeah, you know, it's not everybody's tool, George. Some people prefer just to do meditation. Some people are born with mediumistic abilities already, but other people don't come in with being so open. And so the tool can help them. This tool can, to work in these realms. Again, there are no really instruction books about it, that's why I wrote my second book, The Spirits of Ouija, to really help people to navigate better with this tool. People use a lot of tools. I've seen a lot of people use pendulums. They might use tarot cards.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of card readers out there. There's people that channel extraterrestrials, you know, or beings from another dimension. And the board, using the board, it's the one that gets the bad rap, where it really is no different than any of these other tools. People walk into paranormal investigations and use the EVP.
That's right.
Frank's box. Yeah.
All right. Stay with us, Karen. We're going to take this quick break. The Spirit of Alchemy, we're going to talk a little bit more with Karen Dahlman next hour and take your phone calls. And I'd like you to share your Ouija board story with us. If you've used it, what happened? You might as well.